Today, over a million cigarette stores coast to coast are featuring Chesterfields, the only cigarette to name all its ingredients, the cigarette that's much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste, and most important, no unpleasant aftertaste.
Sound off.
Sound off.
Sound off for Chesterfield.
Good evening, folks. A big hello. We're here to start the Crosby Show. There's lots of laughs and plenty of fun. So settle back with a milder one.
Sound off.
For Chesterfield.
Sound off.
For Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields and do it
today.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the mayors, and Bing's guests, Mr. David Niven and Miss Teresa Brewer. Gentlemen, on this beautiful spring day, we bring you Chesterfield's outdoor boy, Bing Crosby.
Indoor boy today, indoor. Yeah. I'm trapped. They have me working, can't you see?
I tried
been
to
here all
you...
afternoon laboring yeah, over this.
I tried to make you feel as though you were at the beach, didn't I?
Yes, I
threw that bucket of sand at you and a cup of salt water with an orange peel in
it. I appreciate it. You were very sweet, Ken, but I don't feel in the seaside mood today. I feel more the call of the woodlands, the leafy dells and the towering pines. Right now, I should be in Griffith Park with my camera, my butterfly net, and my binoculars.
Why binoculars in Griffith Park?
I want to see how they're running at Hollywood Park. And because I also am an enthusiastic bird watcher.
Say, Bing, I've often wondered about you bird watchers.
I don't know why you should. It's a perfectly normal hobby.
Oh, I know that. But what I mean is, to be a real bird watcher, you have to get up so early. You have to get over to the park while it's still dark, don't you?
Oh, no, no, Ken. You have to wait till the sun's up.
Why?
Well, if you get to Griffith Park while it's still dark, you're not a bird watcher. You're a peeping Tom.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, naturally, we have a code of ethics.
Oh,
of course, very strict, too. Ken, you ought to come out with me someday. Gee, the other afternoon, I had more fun. I was watching the cutest little group of hummingbirds.
Oh, how sweet. What were they humming?
Well, the Blue Tango. What else?
Way up there. I thought they might have been humming the Wheel of Fortune.
No, that just doesn't hum too well. You got to holler that one, you know.
For money.
Oh, Wheel of Fortune.
Say, Bing, I hate to digress here from that lovely thing you were just singing.
I was going into the whole thing if you hadn't cut
well,
me like that.
I hate to stop you, but I do have some very important news.
What's that?
Brace yourself. You ready for this?
This is a big disclosure?
This
is
it.
Let me hear it.
This is National Pickle Week.
No. Is Pickle Week here again?
It certainly is. And I hear through the cucumber vine that the pickle people are coming out with a brand new item this year.
What's that, Ken?
A pickle on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to call it a pickle sickle.
How much will they cost?
Well, you can get a pickle sickle for a nickel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm tickled.
Bing, just one word of warning, though.
What's this?
Never eat a pickle-sickle without a napkin.
Why not?
They trickle.
Oh, how fickle. Say, I think we've beat the brains out of this, Ken. Right now, I'd like to present our first guest of the evening. She's a very charming young lady, a little girl with a big voice, Miss Teresa Brewer. Teresa, it's certainly nice, certainly grand to have you with us again.
Yeah, thank you, Bing.
Teresa, I know you'll do a solo later, but I was wondering right now if you'd sort of kick off the show with us, get us rolling here with an opening number. What about it?
Oh, I'd like that.
Mr. Carpenter there will hold your pickle. Folks, Miss Teresa Brewer and I will now do Mr. John Scott Trotter's arrangement of the Noodle Rag. Noodling Rag. Should have saved this song for National Noodle Week. I love to hear a bandit playing doodly-doo, doodly-doo, the noodling rag.
Oh, the noodling rag.
I love to keep my honor swaying, a doodly-doo, a doodling to the noodling rag.
Oh, the noodling rag.
I hear that happy rhythm.
makes me happy with them. All night we shout to the leader, mister, won't you play it again? I want to hear the clarinets go, a doodly do, a doodly do, the noodle and rag.
We love the noodle and rag.
And when the trombone and the trumpet start to noodle along, yes, sir, it's my favorite song.
Cause it makes my baby want to snuggle up closer.
Cause it never lets my feet drag.
We love to hear a band that's playing.
A doodly do, a doodly do, a doodly do, call a noodle and rag.
Happy with them. All night we shout to the leader, mister, won't you play it again?
I want to hear the clarinets go, a doodly-doo, a doodly-doo, the noodle and rag.
We love the noodle and rag.
And when the trombone and the trumpet start to noodle along, yes, sir, that's my favorite song.
Cause it makes my baby want to snuggle up closer.
Cause it never lets my feet drag.
I love to hear a band that's playing.
A doodle do, a doodle do, the tune called the doodle do, do 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 do, tune called the doodle do.
Isn't she sweet, Brent? To show you why Chesterfield gives you the best possible smoke, we've named all our ingredients, and we're the first and the only cigarette to do so. These ingredients are what makes Chesterfield's much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste, and most important, no unpleasant aftertaste. And here they are for every smoker to hear and to remember.
The right combination of the world's best tobaccos, pre-tested by laboratory instruments for the most desirable smoking qualities. And Chesterfields are kept tasty and fresh with tried and tested moistening agents, costly glycerol, and pure sugars which are natural to tobacco. Nothing else. Only these have been proved entirely safe for use in the mouth. And your Chesterfield is wrapped in cigarette paper of the highest purity.
Folks, those are the proven ingredients to give you the best possible smoke, so you can see why we're glad to name them. Ask your dealer for Chesterfields today. Now, here's another little Western-type tune. It contains rather a nice admonition, I think. John?
Don't ever be afraid to go home.
Go home.
Don't ever be afraid to go home.
When you've hitched your wagon to a fast falling star, and the last string is broken on your lovesick guitar, whatever you're doing and wherever you are, don't ever be afraid.
Don't ever be afraid to go.
I used to be afraid to go home, but one day I was made to go home. Now I was almost certain they would lock the door on me, 'cause I'm the sour apple on my old family tree. But folks who really love me made me welcome as could be. Don't ever be afraid.
Don't ever be afraid to go home.
I used to be afraid to go home, but one day I was made to go home. Now I was almost certain they would lock the door on me. 'Cause I'm the sour apple on my old family tree. The folks who really love me made me welcome as could be. Don't ever be afraid.
Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be afraid to go home.
Thank you very much. And now we have Miss Teresa Brewer returning to sing a song that Eddie Leonard first made famous in 1912, a song called Roll Them Roly Boly Eyes. Bet it'll come out again, too, and be very popular. Teresa, step right up here and do it, huh?
Okay. Here, hold my pickle. Roll them roly-boly eyes. Roll them honey to the sky. Oh, I could cry if I could die. Myself down, eat a piece of pie. Come along, honey, and let me see you roll them roly-boly eyes, eyes, eyes. When the cold days are over, love, you and I will wed. Wedding bells will be ringing loud, telling what we said. Little birds will be singing love. Oh, listen to the mockingbird complimenting you and me. I tell you I'll work hard for you if you just listen to my plea. If you just listen to my plea. Roll them roly-boly eyes. Roll them honey to the sky. Oh, I could cry. Yes, I could die. I could lay myself down, eat a piece of pie. Come along, honey, and let me see you roll them roly-boly eyes.
Kills me, that kid. I'd like now to present a very merry fellow from Merry England who's one of our most popular screen actors. This fellow has recently broadened his scope quite a bit by taking a stab at the writing game. And with singular success, too, because his novel, called Once Over Lightly, is selling, well, it's selling like crazy. Here, then, is the actor, author, personable David Niven.
Well, thank you, Bing.
Welcome, David. May I say you're looking alert and dapper, as always?
You're looking as always.
I wish you'd smile when you say that.
Well, I've tried to help you, Bing.
Yes, I must admit, you certainly have. I remember very well those very exclusive British tailors that you recommended to me.
Oh, yes, Hotchkiss and Gilhead.
Mm-hmm. I took your advice, David. I dropped in on them the other day to pick out some material.
Yes, I know. That attorney called me.
What do you mean? My presence in their establishment was considered damaging to their prestige?
See, Bing, English tailors like Hotchkiss and Gilhead consider themselves artists.
I see.
And they're hypersensitive regarding their customers.
Oh, yeah?
That's why they're suing me for having sent you along.
They're suing you? What about me?
They said they'd prefer never to see you again, even in court.
Oh, now, how squeamish can you get?
Oh, Bing, would you mind telling me exactly what were you wearing when you went to see my tailors?
No, I'll tell you. See, I was wearing... I was rather semi-conservative that day. I was wearing burgundy red loafing jacket, a tartan cummerbund, and cerise corduroy.
Now, Bing, really, dressed like that, I'm surprised that either Hotchkiss or Gilhead haven't challenged me to a duel.
Oh, you have nothing to be afraid of, David. Nothing. They're both little bitty fellas. They never challenge a swashbucking big fella like you to a duel.
Well, you forget they've seen me without my padding.
But I really don't need your tailors, David. I go to quite an exclusive shop myself, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes. Look at the label inside my coat here.
Oh, I must see that. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Honest Mac, from the rack to your back.
See, it's direct. There's no fussing around. You walk in, put the suit on, walk out.
Well, I must admit, it's a very unique model. It's the first time I've ever seen double-breasted pants.
It's handy, David, in case of hikes or anything like that, in place of a knapsack.
Oh, we must arrange a picnic real soon.
All right, I'll bring the pickles.
Oh, Bing, you could further improve your appearance by just sprucing up a bit.
Like
what? Oh, you might even grow a mustache.
Oh, no, no. None of that lip lettuce for me. Looks great on you, but I'm just not the type, dude.
You ever had one?
Well, I had something. Yes, years ago I grew one, but never again. I couldn't train it. It was a pretty straggly thing.
Straggly, huh?
Yes, I looked like Groucho Marx eating a Chinese dinner.
Oh. What a ghastly thought.
Grim, huh?
Yes, a terrible situation. Well, I've had mine so long, it's a part of me.
Well, what more can one ask of a mustache, I think?
I find it to be of great advantage.
Well, I guess it could be to an actor. You know, you've played lots of romantic parts and everything. They say, tell me, do leading ladies go for mustaches?
I don't think so. At least I've never worked with one who had one.
Oh, now, you're beating around. You're being deliberately obtuse, David. I'll try again. Would you say that it's hard for a man with a mustache to get a girl to kiss him?
No, not at all, Bing. You see, a mustache is like a hedge around a house.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps the strangers out, but the friends know where to look for the gate.
How beautifully put.
Oh. Thank you. Oh, and speaking about my novel, Once Over Lightly, did you like it?
Were we speaking about your book?
We are now.
Yeah, I have a copy of your book at home, Dave. It's very uplifting.
Uplifting?
Yeah, we got a short leg on our card table.
Well, I hope it supports me as well.
Oh, it's a cinch, Dave. Really, it will, because it's so breezy. It's so rich in humor and plot. I'm proud of you, boy.
Oh, it was nothing. I was cleaning out some drawers one day, and I ran across some paper and a pencil. Next thing I knew, I was speaking at women's clubs.
I see. Well, tell me how you work, Dave.
I'd be glad to. I'll take you with me through the typical day of an author.
Carry on. I'm with you.
Well, to begin with, I'm up at dawn.
Bye.
Really, quite invigorating. I bound out of bed, I bound into the shower, I bound down to breakfast.
Niven, you're a bounder.
Please, don't talk shop. Anyway, I finish my breakfast.
And then you start to write.
No, not exactly. I go out on my patio with plenty of pencils and paper, then I sit in the sun in the lounge chair, and my beautiful blonde secretary arrives.
That's when you start to get ideas.
No, that's when I have to get rid of them. Anyway, after that, I take a stroll around the garden, deep in thought, and then I rush back into the house with only one thought in mind.
Writing?
Lunch.
Now you're rolling. Go on, this is fascinating, David.
Well, after lunch, I go back out and sit in that lounge chair again. Mm-hmm. You see, in order to write a book, you've got to be able to do a lot of sitting.
Oh, I like this. I'm a sitter, you know, from way back.
Well, I find this the most comfortable position. let me see. Oh, yes. After that, I send my beautiful blonde secretary home.
And you're through for the day.
No, that's when I start. I can't work with her around.
That distracting?
Oh, terribly distracting. She always throws me those curves.
Look out, now, wait. Dave, now that you've given me a little insight as to how an author works, there's a little announcement I'd like to make.
Announcement? Bing, you too are not writing a book.
Why not?
Do you think you have what it takes to write a novel? In order to write a great novel, a man must have lived.
Well, I've lived.
Oh, but things have changed so much since then.
I got a good idea, though, Dave. Get a load of the plot of my story. I want to tell you about it. It's a stark, stirring drama of a family living in the malaria belt. And the problems they face as each of them is killed off, one by one.
What are you calling it?
The Happy Ones.
That title fits about as well as your pants.
Well, I may alter the pants and the title. But, Dave, I haven't told you anything about my story. I've got a wonderful beginning for it.
It starts off big.
Very big, yes. You see, the two main characters are Claude and Blanche. As the story opens, Claude and Blanche are out on a hunting trip when suddenly they're attacked by a mountain lion. Oh, it's awful.
What happens when the lion attacks them?
Well, Claude blanches and blanches Claude.
You're another Hemingway.
You think there's room for another?
Move in.
Well, anyway, Dave, Claude and Blanche have a rift because Claude is diverting his attentions to another woman.
Oh, the triangle. What's this new girl's name?
Oh, she's a slinky siren-type girl named Chlorophyll Stench.
Chlorophyll Stench?
Yes.
That's an odd combination.
Well, this girl's very mixed up. As a matter of fact, she's going to a psychiatrist because of her name. And one day the psychiatrist tells her that it's absolutely imperative that
I beg your pardon, Bing. I seem to remember. Don't you do something else besides write?
Well, I sing.
Please do.
If you insist.
I was never more adamant.
If it's music you want, Davy, we have coming up one of the great old standards. I Can't Give You Anything But Love. And Mr. Buddy Cole's at the piano.
Well, that's a square deal.
I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby. Dream a while, scheme a while, you're sure to find happiness, and I guess all those things you've always pined for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets were worth doesn't sell, my little baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but love. I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby. Dream a while, scheme a while, you're sure to find happiness, and I guess all those things you've always pined for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets Woolworth doesn't sell, baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything. I can't give you anything but love.
And thank you, Mr. Cole.
Everybody, for that elegant piano support. Folks, I've told you what goes into every pack of Chesterfields, the ingredients that give you the best possible smoke, a smoke that's much milder with an extraordinarily good taste, and most important, no unpleasant aftertaste. So you'll get that out of a pack of Chesterfields. Here's what we put into it. The right combination of the world's best tobaccos. Pure, costly moistening agents, cigarette paper of the highest purity, that's what Chesterfields are made of, the proven ingredients that give you the best possible smoke. Yes, that's backed up by research.
Research in our Chesterfield laboratories, the newest and best in the business. And remember, Chesterfield has the newest and most modern of cigarette factories.
Now you know what goes into every pack of Chesterfields. The best ingredients, backed up by the best research and best manufacture. Sound off to your dealer for Chesterfields and do it today. Go down to your dealer, hurry, run, and ask him for the milder one.
Milder with a better taste and no unpleasant aftertaste.
Sound off for Chesterfield.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Ask your dealer for Chesterfield and do it
today.
Hey.
To tell you the truth, I'll be lonely. I don't mind being lonely when my heart tells me you are lonely too. walk alone. They'll ask me why, and I'll tell them I'd rather. There are dreams I must gather, dreams we fashioned the night you held me tight. I'll always be near you, wherever you are, each night in every prayer. If you call, I'll hear you, no matter how far, just close your eyes, and I'll be there. Please walk alone, and send your love and your kisses to guide me, till you're walking beside me. I'll walk alone. I'll always be near you, wherever you are, each night in every prayer. If you call, I'll hear you, no matter how far, just close your eyes, and I'll be there. Please walk alone, and send your love and your kisses to guide me. Till you're walking beside me, I'll walk
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And now my thanks to Teresa Brewer and to David Niven for joining us here this evening.
Oh, it was a lot of fun, Bing. Who's going to be with you next week?
Next week, Dave, our guest will be Miss Judy Garland.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't that a great break? I couldn't get tickets to her show, so I had to invite her over to my show. Got to see that girl. Well, Dave, I'll be seeing you at the Pen and the Pencil or the Office Club or the Bucks Club or White's or some other literary gathering points, eh?
Just flash your library card so I'll know you.
Oh, have it with me at all times, Dave. Friends, as you undoubtedly know, this month marks the beginning of Cerebral Palsy Drive. Give generously, huh? That's about it for this evening. I hope to see you next week. And remember, friends, Chesterfield names all its ingredients, so you'll know what makes Chesterfield much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste, and most important, no unpleasant aftertaste. The authority for that is a well-known research organization. So sound off for Chesterfield. Ask your dealer for Chesterfields today.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guest, Miss Judy Garland.